We can recite the words of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as if by rote, and hardly attend to their meaning at all. So I wonder if anything different happens when we say, Mother, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, and then mind the depths of those words. What changes if we pray to Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, my strength, my refuge, my kindling fire, forebear, brother, breath? Look carefully at the prayers and creeds that structure our worship, and this trio of names is everywhere. But I wonder if thinking of God in this way makes much difference to us. The Trinity is a picture of God that is unique to the followers of Jesus. So whether we know what to do with this present when we open it or not, it's surely one of our gifts to the world. Are you ready to respond if someone you know asks why we have this notion about God or what we do with it? If I handed you pencil and paper this morning, could you draw it? What does it look like? And more to the point, after you sketch an image or written down a few words, could you share a story about God that the Trinity tells? One story of the Trinity was painted on a piece of wood by a 9-year-old friend of mine from New Mexico. On a superficial level, it pictures an old man and a young man and a bird, with everyone sitting on a kind of cloud chair. But I spent enough time with the artist to know that the young Jesus figure who offers the viewer his heart, spreading the sides of his shirt Superman style, is patterned on the girl's father, who just happens to be a carpenter and a musician. God looks like her grandpa, or at least the photograph of him sitting in an armchair at home in Austria. And the cross at the bottom of the panel is drawn in the shape of a human body. When I asked her about the painting, she said, "The Holy Trinity is a family like our family." After a pause, she went on, "And because Jesus is in God, we are in God too." Get that, 9 years old, not bad. She said, "We are inside the Trinity." Now draw that. "They love each other," she said, "this trio, and they are playing music together." Now I happen to know that that whole family, there were 6 children, mom and dad, aunts and uncles, and they all lived in one big house, and they all made music all the time. So, of course, her vision of the Trinity was playing music. How do you like that? So much for the 4th-century arguments about the nature of God that twist themselves into complicated creeds. If you take from this Trinity Sunday my young friend Eugenie's wisdom, that God is a family of love that we're part of, and that something like music connects us, instruments creating melody in a band, well, then you'll have plenty to chew on this week. And then consider the impact of carrying such an image into a world characterized by disharmony, such as ours, where the family of man is more often than not estranged by race and class and gender and sexuality and political party and national borders. Consider the power of taking an image of God that we are somehow participating in, that's about music and harmony, into the places where you find yourself where people are like this. It'll have an impact. We need the music of common purpose and vision to heal what divides us. A fellow named John Buchanan retired after 48 years as a Presbyterian pastor, and in an article recently, he reflected on a half century of ministry. Out of thousands of services, he most clearly remembered one particular Sunday on which he baptized a 2-year-old boy, marched right up to the font. After the youngster had been splashed with water, Reverend Buchanan, following the directions of the service, placed his hand on the little boy's head and addressed him in quite serious Trinitarian language. He said, "You are a child of God, sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism, and you belong to Christ Jesus forever. Now, ordinarily, the congregation responds, amen, at this point. But before they could speak, the little boy responded, uh-oh. And I think about why that's the service out of thousands that that pastor remembered. And I think it's because that little guy gave voice to how big it is to take on God's reconciling work in the world that we say we'll do at baptism. In that service, we're asked, will you seek and serve Christ in all persons? Strive for justice and peace, love your neighbor as yourself, and respect the dignity of every human being? And ordinarily, our response is, I will. But maybe we ought to be honest with ourselves and change our answer to something like his. Uh-oh, you looking at me? I will, but only if God helps me. Did you know what you were signing up for when you said yes to God? The God who's called Mother, Pain Bearer, Life Giver? Ours are the feet with which Christ walks to do good. Ours are the hands which Christ blesses the world. No hands or feet, but ours. No way to be compassionate except through us. Yikes. No wonder the little guy said, uh-oh. I'm wondering, have you noticed every now and then when you hear a string of notes or catch a phrase of music that something happens in you? You're driving along in the car and the radio comes on and maybe it's a familiar song or maybe it's a brand new one and there's just a few notes that waft through the air and something gets made right. Or you're sitting in church and the choir sings something. Maybe it happens to the choir members and you've been practicing a piece for weeks and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, at that moment, something just goes yes within you. Something slows down your breathing or straightens up your backbone or clarifies your sight. Maybe it heals you. Maybe being Christ's hands and feet is what it feels like to get caught up in God's love song for humanity. Music especially for those who've been knocked down and cast out. Why do we sing? But to give voice to harmony that we long for and need. And then hopefully we can live and offer to the world. On a brutally cold January night in 1941, at a prisoner of war camp in Gorlitz, Germany, composer Olivier Messiaen works Quartet for the End of Time had its debut performance. Messiaen wrote most of the piece after being captured as a French soldier during the invasion of 1940, and the premiere took place in an unheated corner of Barrack 27. It was played by prisoners on old instruments provided by their captors, and those captors sat on the front row shivering along with the inmates. The composer said that he longed to write some music that would proclaim that the love and hope of God was still alive, even in the terror of the death camps. He was tired of the hup, two, three, four of the jackboot, so he wrote the music pointedly without a regular beat. So the rhythms are constantly changing, which means that the musicians cannot play in isolation, simply counting out their parts in time. Instead, they have to listen to each other, always playing as an ensemble. More than that, they have to play in communion with each other, or the piece falls apart. Music critic Alex Ross writes, Messiaen's quiet answer to the ultimate questions of fear and faith stayed with me, because his reply came out of an all-too-modern landscape of man's inhumanity to man. And in the face of this hate, this honestly Christian man didn't ask, why, O Lord? He said, I love you. And he invited his musicians to play that. In fact, right on the score, where most composers would have written something like, play slowly, play moderately, play rapidly, Messiaen wrote instead, play tenderly, Play with ecstasy. Play with love. And that, finally, is what the music of the Trinity says about God and us. Though enemies still line up at borders, though wars are hatched each day across town and around the globe, though plowshares are still shaped into swords and guns are still wielded by boys and girls play acting as adults, we are more than our worst actions. I know it. All of us. The music of common purpose and vision can heal what divides us. 50 years ago this month, a series of demonstrations at the Stonewall Inn by gay, lesbian, and transgender patrons against police raids began the movement that yesterday was celebrated as Baltimore Pride. Harmony can still be built note by note. Just like communities, whenever strangers sit down one-on-one and learn what drum the other marches to. Families don't have to be estranged. Women don't have to be diminished. People of color can rise. God's music has a healing story to tell through instruments like us. So play tenderly. Play with ecstasy. Play with love. When you were baptized, you signed up to transform the world. So be swift to love. Your life and my life and God's life depend on it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.